This year, we heard a number of stories that we wanted to make sure you heard. So for the next few days, we'll be dropping short bonus material from a few guests we couldn't quite fit into the regular season, but we know you'll enjoy. On In Good Faith, we believe that all faith traditions have something to teach us about how God is working in the world and in our lives. So join us as we listen and learn and discover how speaking with people of other faiths can strengthen our own faith and even our own practice. Today, I have the chance to talk with Brian Fessler, who I met at the Religious Communicators Conference in Salt Lake City this year. Brian is a banjo player living in Nashville and has the kind of warm presence that made us all feel welcome. So I wanted to bring his faith experience to our listeners. Brian Fessler is the Vice President of Religion Communicators Council, the RCC, Board of Governors. He's also pastor of the Church of Scientology in Nashville, Tennessee.
My immediate family, my grandparents, you know, all my cousins, everybody, we grew up Catholic. Went to the catechism classes, went to church on Sundays. As I got into high school, it was more of, I think that sometimes there's a term for it, when you just go on Christmas and Easter. And so I wouldn't say I was a really good Catholic, but I grew up Catholic. And one of my priest friends in Minnesota told me the four words I hear the most are, "I grew up Catholic." And I thought, well, that's interesting. But I did. And I actually really came to love my Catholic roots more as a Scientologist than I ever did. I didn't understand it when I grew up. I was confirmed. I didn't really even know what it meant to be confirmed. I didn't understand baptism. I didn't understand the host. It was just what you did. And so I kind of moved away from that about the same time I left for Nashville and just wasn't really practicing much faith. I actually got around here and there's a lot of Baptists around here. A lot of my musician friends were Baptists. And I went to Baptist services a few times and went to some Baha'i services. I thought that was interesting. But between the time I left home and got into Dianetics, I wouldn't say I was an extremely religious person. Growing up, I protested our lessons in Sunday school class. I was the guy that always like, why do we do this? Why do we sit down? Why do we kneel? Why do we stand? Why do we do this? You know, and eventually it's because the Bible says so or some, you know, some brush off answer. I hated that. I protested. I was argumentative. But even throughout, I knew there was more to life than you could put on a scale or measure with a yardstick. And I knew that there was a higher power that, you know, has some degree, more, less, you know, I don't know if it's omni, you know, it directs all of our actions, but, you know, certainly guiding and creating. And that's been with me since I was a kid.
Was it, if I understand correctly, on a trip to Nashville or soon after arriving that you actually discovered Scientology?
Yeah. So I grew up in Iowa, and for some reason, there's a lot of bluegrass music in the middle of this country. So Missouri, Iowa, Illinois. And my family got involved when I was a kid. My father just decided he was going to take us to a bluegrass music festival, just sort of a family activity. And I fell in love with the music and picked up the banjo when I was 10. That became kind of my central focus as I went through school and went into college. I was still more interested in banjo. So I ended up leaving college to go play banjo full time in Nashville, Tennessee. In 1986, I think that was. And I was living here and playing music and just doing my thing. And there was a big national advertising campaign for the book Dianetics in the 80s. It was a very high growth period for Dianetics. And the book Dianetics is written by L. Ron Hubbard. It was published in 1950. The word Dianetics means through the soul, or like how is the mind and the soul affecting the body? And it's a lot about everybody has a potential to do good things, to be happy, but we get kind of wrapped up in a lot of painful memories, in either physical pain, emotional pain, painful situations. It's about how does the mind work and, you know, your mental potential and being more successful, not holding yourself back, that kind of thing. And the TV ads caught my attention. It didn't seem religious to me at the time, and I wasn't looking for a religion or anything. I just sounded interesting, and I bought the book kind of on a lark. That took a couple of years, but then life sort of shifted and went in that direction. As I read the Dianetics book, I could see that here was a system to address that was very workable. I mean, it was very clear, very plain and simple, and it made sense that you could study this, you could do something, and you could change conditions for yourself. And I just really liked that. It made sense. You know, I was interested in philosophy to some degree, but I wasn't a big philosopher. I mean, I was only in my 20s. And I just liked the idea that a person could make a change in their mental capacity and their emotions and help other people with that. The main things people are coming into our church for are study. So they will take a course of study. That we would call that a course room. You'd go in the course room and study. Or they're coming for auditing. Auditing is a spiritual counseling practice where I'm asking you questions. You look back earlier in your life, you find the answer to those questions. And by doing that, you learn something about yourself. It's very precise. It's a private one-on-one session with an auditor who's a church minister, and the minister is sworn to confidence. So, you know, you can tell your pastor anything here. And then the third thing people come in for is knowledge. And our founder, L. Ron Hubbard, wrote lots and lots of books, wrote encyclopedias worth of information, and then recorded lecture series. And so probably about 3,000 lectures make up the Scientology religion, along with I don't know how many thousands of pages of writings, but that's a lot of information, and people will come in to, you know, take advantage of that. We look at life, we kind of break it down into different parts just to help understand it and analyze your own life in different facets, yourself, your family, groups you're part of, all of mankind. These are like four different parts of life. It's kind of a concentric circle in a way, like you have yourself and then you have your family and you have your groups, and it goes all the way out to the spirit. And then beyond that, just the infinity of God. Well, I've told you earlier, we don't necessarily teach about God, but we do the step right before. We talk about the spirit quite a lot. And we believe people are spiritual. We believe you have a mind, you have a body, maybe you have a house or a car or whatever, but you are a spirit. When I grew up Catholic, I prayed, lay me down to sleep, my soul the Lord to keep. And I would always be a little bit scared because I would wonder, when I wake up in the morning, am I going to get it back or not? In Scientology, it's kind of flipped on its head. It's not, I don't have a soul. I am the soul. I am the spirit. I have a mind. I have a body. And this, you know, spirit, mind, body is not unique to Scientology, but what's probably is unique is just how much emphasis we place on getting to know yourself spiritually. And by doing that, the more you know about your spiritual nature, the closer you can get to God, the closer you can understand the great unknown truths that exist in the world. You know, it's not a Scientology belief. It comes from the Bible that we're created in God's image. And I personally carry that belief. I don't know if every Scientologist would say that, but you have to really think, what is the image of God? Well, some people personify that. Some people draw a picture of it. Some religions forbid that, and some wouldn't even allow you to write the name because it diminishes who and what God is. And I might be speaking a little bit outside of our own faith, but to me, if we're in the image of God, then that's pretty spiritual. You can't see a spirit. You can't touch a spirit. You just have to know. You just have to know. And so in Scientology, we want to help people to know what that means to be spiritual. And that comes a lot through the study, but it really comes through the auditing when your minister sits down and helps you to look into your spiritual nature in a way that you just couldn't figure out on your own and without some guidance. It's very profound. So I just spent several months in California doing some of the advanced courses and looking at these things, and you learn so much about yourself and spirituality in general. And I've felt a much greater affinity for the Supreme Being throughout the process.
Many thanks to Brian Fessler for speaking with me. Our production team includes Heather Bigley, Heidi Clough, Nick Levitt, and Ocean Marshall. Our post-production sound designer is Gabriel Haro. In Good Faith is committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. Check out more of our episodes and extended interviews on our YouTube channel and connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at In Good Faith Podcast. In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry. I hope you join me again soon, right here in Good Faith.